This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order this weekend at howiecarshow.com/store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
My initial reaction was sadness. I wasn't shocked.
Yeah, he had to make up too many lies to why he didn't want to do certain things, or like to cover, like another lie, and that, you know, yeah, I guess he got caught up in that because he took the stand himself. He got angry with the prosecutor.
I will never be the man that this did not happen to. I am forever changed.
I'm caught in my own web of lies. This is all blowing up in my face.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studio.
As a proud New Jersey native, this is where I get to say regrets. I've had a few, but...
It's funny you should mention screw-ups because...
We watched, all of us watched as one man committed suicide.
When you look out of your hotel room window in the French Quarter and watch a man float by face down.
Don't tell us if you're ahead of us on the math. He could have given each American $1 million and have had lunch money left over.
Unchained and unstoppable.
And if you can believe it, it's a Friday once again.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
That last caller, Anthony from Vermont, was telling us about how Titleist, the big golf ball manufacturer from New Bedford, is blocking customers from personalizing golf balls with Let's Go Brandon. We just got this story here. So they have been allowing it, but they've just decided not to permit it, according to a media strategist, social media strategist, who Caleb Hull. He's the one who came up with this. So Titleist has now banned the phrase, Let's Go Brandon, on their golf balls. Okay, so here's what it says on their website. A Acushnet company, it's still named the Acushnet company. It's just named, I don't know if they bought Titleist or what. But
well, Acushnet company started in Acushnet. And,
right, which is now suburban.
They were bought out by Titleist, but I think they kept the name.
A Acushnet company reserves the right to reject orders for imprints on our products that may, in our sole discretion, be inconsistent with our company values or brand identity, including, but not limited, to logos, designs, and or personalizations that are negative in nature, advocate violence or illegal activity, or are slurs, hateful, threatening, libelous, defamatory, vulgar, obscene, or pornographic. I read that because I'm just about to tell you which ones you can still put on your golf balls, should you choose to do so. This is from Fox News Digital. They tested certain expressions popular in the alt-left culture. How about F. Trump? You can still put F. Trump on a golf ball.
The full word?
No, just F.
Okay.
ACAB, you know what that means. All cops are bastards. That's a Antifa BLM graffiti that's on all the local courthouses and police stations. Antifa. Kill cops. So kill cops is apparently that doesn't advocate violence or illegal activities, apparently, according to Acushnet company's standards. Impeach Trump and finally kill Trump. All of those are allowed, but you can't say Let's Go Brandon. You can't say Let's Go. You can say it, though, on our T-shirts. I'm wearing one right now. I'm violating all the standards of the Acushnet company. You couldn't see this on a Titleist golf ball, but you could see it on my T-shirt.
Sounds like we need to get into the golf ball biz now.
That's right. We'll have to put a flag. It'll have to be a smaller American flag on the golf ball. But you can order these. You can order these beautiful T-shirts at howiecarshow.com and click on store. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. All right. Before we get to the sound cuts, I want to read U.S. inflation hits 39-year high in November. 39-year high. So now we are finally, you know, they keep saying, oh, don't talk about stagflation. That's BS. 39 years, we're into the Jimmy Carter hangover period. You know, when President Reagan and what was it, Volcker, were trying to wring out inflation, and they were still having a problem because of Jimmy Carter and just, you know, and Nixon problems as well. U.S. inflation reached a nearly four-decade high in November as strong consumer demand collided with pandemic-related supply constraints. The only thing they didn't use was the word unexpectedly. But you know why? Because it was expected. They've been saying this for a few days, forecast stories. This is from the Wall Street Journal. The Labor Department said today the Consumer Price Index, which measures what consumers pay for goods and services, rose 6.8% in November from the same month a year ago. That was the fastest price increase since 1982. Again, the hangover from Jimmy Carter. And the sixth straight month in which inflation topped 5%. The sixth straight month in which inflation topped 5%. The so-called core price index, which includes the often volatile categories of food and energy. I mean, how can you have any kind of index for prices without food and energy? I mean, just about everything else you can do without if push comes to shove. But you can't do without food, obviously. And you can't really do without energy, can you?
Is food infrastructure?
This infrastructure bill has no infrastructure in it, basically. Or it's, what is it, 10% infrastructure? Real infrastructure. The rest of it is just welfare payments and Green New Deal and diversity coordinators, et cetera, et cetera. The so-called core price index climbed 4.9% in November from a year earlier. That is a sharper increase than October's 4.6% increase and the highest rate since 1991. They have some interviews with some local people, man-in-the-street interviews. Dallas resident Greg Chu noticed a rise in his gasoline costs earlier this year, an increase so steep that he took his car to a mechanic. But there was nothing wrong with his car. The problem was much higher gas prices. Greg Chu has got to start paying more attention to what's going on around him. He is also taking to meticulously planning his day to reduce driving. Since food prices began rising last spring, he is also dining out less and is buying less meat and dairy at the grocery store. Okay, so then there's a woman who has a Thai restaurant in Charlotte, North Carolina. Her business is booming, but she's being squeezed. A surge in chicken prices has wiped out what used to be a reliable source of profit for her restaurant, Rice and Spice Thai Street Food. It has happened like a storm, and it just keeps coming. I don't think we can keep paying people higher wages. The typical consumer expected inflation 1 year from now to be running at 4.9%, the highest since 2008, according to a survey by the University of Michigan. Thanks, Joe Biden. Let's go, Brandon. Paying higher prices? Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon.
So Joe has got a few things to say about some of this. Let's just start playing some of these cuts. Cut one from Joe Biden today.
And make sure technology enables so much of our lives.
He read technology as technological. Okay. And this is another recurring pattern of his. Cut two.
And the Dominican Republic formed, quote, an alliance to strengthen democratic institutions, end of quote.
End of quote. End of quote. Then we have the problem of around the world autocracies. Correct, Joe? Cut three.
Autocracies can never extinguish the ember of liberty.
Let me hear that one again. How do you pronounce that?
Autocracies can never extinguish the ember of liberty.
Autocracies. Autocracies. Alpine or cross country, Joe? Are you going to get some autocracies for Christmas? Cut four.
The threat we face and the solutions we seek have a common antecedent.
A common antecedent. I think he means antecedent, Why would you write a word like antecedent into remarks by dementia Joe Biden? That should be a firing offense. That's like putting in a number like $500 billion for him to read. Let's hear that one again. Cut four.
The threat we face and the solutions we seek have a common antecedent.
Or is he talking about Anacin? Pain reliever for a headache. If you don't feel like an aspirin or an Excedrin, you can go with Anacin. Cut five.
We're taking on climate crisis, the climate crisis with a seriousness and urgency.
We're taking on climate crisis, the climate crisis.
We're taking on climate crisis, the climate crisis.
Or maybe it's a climate crisis. Or is it a climate crisis, as you said last summer? Can we ask you any questions, Mr. President? Mr. President, cut six. Mr.
Thank
President.
You.
That's kind of Star Wars-like music, isn't it?
It's it's like the something you'd see at the beginning of a VHS movie. Like, this has been a Buena Vista production. Something stupid like that.
All right. We'll take your calls when we come back, 844-500-4242. And again, stand by for the Brian Williams tribute. A giant of American journalism. To all my listeners with an IRA or 401k, this is an urgent warning. Our federal debt is now closing in on $29 trillion, just under. What our government is not telling you is that the Fed is running out of ways to fight this growing burden. Inflation and tax hikes are their only way out. So if you have $50,000 or more in your retirement savings, your money could be at risk. That's why I protect my life savings with physical gold and silver. And now you can too. Learn how you can protect your life savings with physical gold and silver. Visit goldco.com/Howie Carr to receive your Biden inflation report. That's right, goldco.com/Howie Carr, and the IRA experts at Goldco will give you up to $10,000 in free silver when you open a qualifying account. That's why Goldco is the only company I trust to protect my wealth. So, what are you waiting for? Go to goldco.com/Howie Carr. The experts at Goldco have helped thousands of Americans own gold and silver in their retirement savings to protect against inflation and tax hikes. They helped me, and now they can help you too. That's goldco.com/Howie Carr. I'm Howie Carr.
Did you miss part of today's show?
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Just search Howie Carr on your favorite podcast app and listen anywhere, anytime. He's not here to make nice.
Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
The Howie Carr Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Just for our listeners, save $200 on the 3-Pack through this Sunday. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3. Taylor, what is the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will UMass ever crack the case of the racist emails?
No, they haven't. And by the way, I still don't know. I have no answer to my question to them early this morning. How much has this investigation cost the taxpayer so far? No. What are the results?
98% say no.
Dum, 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 dum.
But this is one of the premier IT forensic firms of the world that's investigating these terrible emails that were sent. And they've had 10 weeks to do it, Taylor. You'd think they could have cracked the case, but they continue to be baffled.
COVID.
Baffled. 844-500-4242. Ed, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Howie.
Hi.
Hey, I just want to shout out to Bob Dole. You know,
Yeah, he was a great American.
I was really close to my grandfather. You know, a lot of those guys. They taught us.
I know, Ed. I know. I mean, it's the greatest generation is passing away, has mostly passed away now before our very eyes. Bob Dole died at 98, and, you know, he had a terrible injury. He spent a year in military hospitals after having his arm shot off. And he came back. It took him a long time to dress every day. Every day of his life, he had to suffer through that injury and deal with it. And, you know, I'm sure you loved your grandmother, and Bob Dole was just a good man. He was a fine public service servant. And, you know, when he was running against Bill Clinton, it was so frustrating to see him losing. A guy who had given his all to the United States and running against the draft dodger, who was just a horrible, horrible human being. And Bob Dole used to go out there and say, "Where's the outrage? Where's the outrage?" And you knew he was going to lose because the American people were no longer the same American people that had won World War II, and that was 25 years ago. Thanks for the call, Adam. Go ahead.
Many of our families know that, and I hope, you know, the people in the government now recognize that. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Ed. I remember when Bob Dornan was talking about, I think when Bob Dole resigned from the Senate to run for president, and Bob Dornan, B1 Bob, the old congressman from Southern California, said, you know, that it was breaking his heart to see the passing of the World War II generations, the people he'd grown up idolizing. And it's true. It's sad. Ray, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ray.
Hi, Howie. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I'll see if I can get right to the point here. It has to do with the whole vaccine thing, the COVID-19 vaccine. First, I want to say I'm fully vaccinated. And I did that because my research told me, at the very least, data suggests that if I do get it, I stand a better chance. And I have serious lung disease, okay? So my question is, why aren't they publishing data that monitors those people who work with COVID cases, active COVID people who are fully vaccinated? Why aren't they tracking that? And, you know, what percent of them are involved in these so-called breakthroughs? Because a rhetorical question is quite simple. How many people fully vaccinated didn't get it because they never got exposed?
I don't know. Ray, I don't think any of these statistics mean anything because they don't know. I mean, some people say they can't measure Omicron, and I just read just statistics from the European Union saying nobody has died of Omicron, and you know, they're forcing these kids to get vaccinations even though they admit, you know, I mean. People who are honest in healthcare admit that flu kills more young children than COVID. COVID kills no young children, basically. None of these statistics mean anything. They don't know who's passing it on, how they're passing it on, and it's. I don't know. I don't even read the statistics anymore, or I seldom read them. Thanks for the call, Ray. I wish I had a better answer for you, but I don't. Frank, we don't have any time. We'll take some more calls. We come back, 844-500-4242. And we will do the Brian Williams retrospective. He was a giant of fake news. I mean, he was a mentor to all the other people at MSNBC, you know, whether it's Mike Barnicle or Halperin or any of them. Al Sharpton, Joy Reid. I'm Howie Carr.
Yeah. live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Dan Bishop is a Republican congressman from North Carolina. He went to South Mecklenburg High School, which is the alma mater of both Walter Davis and Bobby Jones, two great UNC stars who later went on to become all pros in the National Basketball Association. And Dan Bishop is currently my favorite congressman from North Carolina because he had a great take last night on Fox on Adam Schiff, the guy who, the pencil neck geek from Framingham who now lives in California, who promoted relentlessly the Russian collusion hoax. This is Dan Bishop.
The Steele dossier did not play a limited role. The DOJ Inspector General noted the FBI used the Steele dossier as a basis to get FISA wiretaps meant for terrorists to go after the Trump campaign. There goes Adam Schiff misleading again. Your word.
Adam Schiff is the Jesse Smollett of Congress. He just hasn't had his trial yet.
All right, Congressman Bishop, it's good to see you. Come back soon.
I wish he were to get a trial. You know, that would be only appropriate, but I don't think it's in the cards, sadly. 844-500-4242. Okay, Brian Williams. Taylor, do you think we should play his greatest hits first, or should we play his farewell first?
The farewell.
Okay, I guess the farewell sets it up because, he portrays himself as, kind of a cross between Edward R. Murrow and Walter Cronkite, when in fact, he's a cross between Don Lamone and Dan Rather, and whoever other fraudulent broadcast newsers you want to talk about. But okay, so let's play cut 7.
As a proud New Jersey native, this is where I get to say regrets. I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. What a ride it's been. Where else, how else was a kid like me going to meet presidents and kings and the occasional rock star? These lovely testimonials that I can never truly repay make me hyper aware that it has been and remains a wonderful life. It's as if I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning in Bedford Falls. The reality is, though, I will wake up tomorrow in the America of the year 2021, a nation unrecognizable to those who came before us and fought to protect it.
You mean like Edward R. Murrow and Walter Cronkite? Honest, or sort of pretty much honest?
Also compared himself to Frank Sinatra in that cut.
Well, he just said he's from the same state, but I guess he did in a way. By the way, he was speaking about meeting presidents and, all these important people. Williams claims Secret Service agents helped him meet and shake hands with Pope John Paul II at Catholic University. That wasn't true. He claimed he was present at the Brandenburg Gate in 1989 when the Berlin Wall fell, even though the only American broadcaster on the scene was his NBC predecessor, Tom Brokaw. I'm just reading a few of the things. Cut 8.
My biggest worry is for my country. The truth is, I'm not a liberal or a conservative. I'm an institutionalist. I believe in this place, and in my love of country, I yield to no one. But the darkness on the edge of town has spread to the main roads and highways and neighborhoods. It's now at the local bar and the bowling alley, at the school board and the grocery store. And it must be acknowledged and answered for.
Darkness is... Yeah. Very overrated guy, Bruce Springsteen. Very overrated.
Also from New Jersey.
I know. I know. I get it. Okay. There are a lot of great people from New Jersey, like McGreevy, the former governor. Remember him? Cory Booker. A lot of great ones. Harrison Williams. He went down in the ab scam, I believe, scandal. Okay, so let's go back and we'll get back to the phone calls here in just a moment, but I want to play some of Brian Williams' greatest hits. Now, this is about covering Katrina. He had a lot of great memories of stuff that didn't happen when he was down covering Katrina. Cut 9.
We watched, all of us watched as one man committed suicide.
All of us watched that. No one else remembered anyone committing suicide in the Superdome, but he, all of us watched it. Cut 10.
I will say it was awfully hard. You know, I've been to some pretty lousy places in my life, and Iraq over the past 12 months, and Banda Aceh. Open graves and bodies. These were Americans. And everyone watching the coverage all week that kind of reached its peak last weekend kept saying the same refrain. How is this happening in the United States? And the other refrain was, had this been Nantucket, had this been Boston, Cleveland, Chicago, right. Miami, Los Angeles, how many choppers would have...
Boy, he is the William Shatner of news anchors. What a ham.
What the hell is he talking about? They didn't take care of New Orleans, a Republican state, but they would have taken care of Nantucket, home of the beautiful people. Is that what he's suggesting? That doesn't even make any sense, even from a demagogic point of view. Here's have some more Katrina stuff here. Cut 14.
And when I was down there, I used to be a firefighter, volunteer firefighter.
Oh, I'll bet.
Wearing
I'll
the
bet.
Boots that I've owned since 1976.
I
pulled up as waiters. When you look out of your hotel room window in the French Quarter and watch a man float by face down, when you see bodies that you last saw in Banda Aceh, Indonesia, and swore to yourself that you would never see in your country, I beat that storm. I was there before it arrived. I wrote it out with people who later died in the Superdome.
Are those the guys that committed suicide in the Superdome? Some of them were floating face down in the Canal Street, in the French Quarter, but they got up and they somehow got to the Superdome and then they killed themselves.
It was 1979. I was traveling the Yangtze in search of a Mongolian horsehair vest.
And now he has the audacity to compare someone in the Trump administration to Baghdad Bob. Cut 11.
Yeah, Joyce, it's already been mentioned around here, though it would harken back to a conflict decades ago. We would not be surprised if some headline writer somewhere came up with Baghdad Bill Barr for what we saw today. I'm going to read you four different...
It takes a Democrat... lack of self irony to compare somebody else to Baghdad Bob after he's already at this point busted, right? So here he is with David Letterman, and David Letterman will just David Letterman is just he's a puke, and he was just last week he was just saying it was great to have he was at the Kennedy Center, I guess it was, in D.C. and Dementia Joe and his handlers brought him there. And Letterman was talking about how it was wonderful that we again had a president who was interested in culture, and we know Dave Letterman was such a great guy. He was touching everything but the third rail in his young interns. Cut 12.
We were in some helicopters. What we didn't know was we were north of the invasion. We were the northernmost Americans in Iraq. We were going to drop some bridge portions across the Euphrates so the 3rd Infantry could cross on them. Two of our four helicopters were hit by ground fire, including the one I was in.
No kidding.
RPG and AK-47.
Then, in the distance, I heard the bulls. And I began running as fast as I could. Fortunately, I was wearing my Italian cap-toe Oxfords.
Did you know he was on the Enola Gay? He was, when they dropped the big one. He was with Teddy Roosevelt when they went up San Juan Hill.
He's a survivor of the Andrea Doria.
That's right. he handed Old Hickory his musket at the Battle of New Orleans. He stopped Pickett's charge at Gettysburg.
He was there when they crucified my lord.
He was the only survivor of the 7th Cavalry when they were at the Little Bighorn. Is there any place he hasn't... He was the only survivor of the Alamo.
As the woolly-haired Melanesians of Papua New Guinea once said...
He remembers swimming away from the USS Maine in Havana Harbor back in 1898. He remembers swimming away from the USS Arizona in 1941.
And later the USS Indianapolis.
That's right, with the sharks in the water.
Wasn't he that guy in Jaws?
He was. He was the one who told him to build a bigger boat.
He was Chief Brody and Quint. He played both roles.
He was also the scared little black kid, Jackie Robinson. You know, remember him, the Senate candidate? He was in the movie, too. He's not around anymore. Cut 13.
On rare occasion, when our government talks about the death toll from coronavirus in the black community, they never fail to mention the comorbidities. Am I alone in hearing at least a whiff of victim shaming?
Brian, you're just so, you know, we didn't deserve to have you for all these years because your heart and soul were in the right place. Even as you were lying your ass off, your sorry ass off. Cut 16. Here's my favorite, though. This is my favorite, and this was a very recent one. Not only was he our moral exemplar and we knew him from all of his combat experiences as Blood and Guts, Brian Blood and Guts William. But he was also a mathematician of the first order. He put Albert Einstein in the outhouse.
Somebody tweeted recently that actually with the money he spent, he could have given every American $1 million.
I've got it. Let's put it up on the screen. When I read it tonight on social media, it kind of all became clear. Bloomberg spent $500 million on ads. U.S. population, 327 million. Don't tell us if you're ahead of us on the math. He could have given each American $1 million and have had lunch money left over. It's an incredible way of putting it.
It's an incredible way of putting it. It's true. It's disturbing.
327 million into 500 million. And it comes out to $1 million per person and more. Who could have ever thought that? 339 wants to know if he was with Hillary when she was shot at Tuzla. He was riding shotgun when they were firing at Hillary Clinton.
He took over the controls and crash landed the plane safely.
Someone said he did say that. He said he heard a whiff.
Yeah, you didn't catch that? That's the reason why we've had that cut here. Horton hears a whiff. You can't hear a whiff. You can just smell a whiff.
I just thought it was in there for its sanctimony and its sanctimoniousness and its smugness. Wow. If Limerick guy says if Fatboy was the lion of the Senate, Williams must have been known as the lion of the media. And we don't even have
talks about the death toll from coronavirus in the black community. They never fail to mention the comorbidities. Am I alone in hearing at least a whiff of victim shaming?
Taylor, can we get him on the show today? I want to hear about the time he was robbed when he was selling Christmas trees in New Jersey by the guy came up to him with a .38. Was he a volunteer firefighter back then or not? 844-500-4242. Meals provide the perfect opportunity to bond and catch up with friends and family during this busy holiday season, but I just don't have the free hours to spend in the kitchen. Luckily, HelloFresh cuts down on meal prep and cleanup so I can devote more energy over the holidays to the people who matter most to me. HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients and recipes right to my doorstep, so I skip the grocery trip and avoid wasting money on excess food. With farm fresh produce and 50 always changing weekly menu and market items, I get everything I need without skimping on quality. You're still by yourself this week, right, Taylor? What are you making from your HelloFresh box this
week? Last night I made a delicious steak with some roasted potatoes and carrots, and it came out great. And, of course, I had a great time. It was even easier this time than the last recipe was, and I think that's because HelloFresh is starting to train me on how to be more efficient in the kitchen, and I certainly was. used one pen. They encourage you to wipe off the pen when you're done with it instead of breaking out another one. So it's very economical.
How long did it take you to make the dish?
Maybe 20 minutes, if that, really.
20 minutes for steak and potatoes.
Yeah, the hardest part was just waiting for the roasted potatoes and carrots to get done. That was, everything else was a breeze.
HelloFresh has got all kinds of great cooking items for you. Dinners, lunches, grab-and-go breakfasts. Gourmet options like the balsamic and fig beef tenderloin and the lobster-stuffed ravioli and shrimp allow me and Taylor and Grace to get a little fancy, minus the fuss. I'm excited about hearty seasonal recipes like kale, cranberry, and walnut-stuffed squash, or family favorites like pecan-crusted salmon or tempura-battered chicken fingers, which is what Patrice had last week, and she said it was fantastic. I love to indulge my sweet tooth over the holidays. This year, I'm craving the cherry cheesecake swirl bars, ginger-spiced cake truffles, and more seasonal goodies from HelloFresh. Plus, grab-and-go breakfast that I mentioned earlier, quick bites and add-ons keep the family from getting peckish any time of the day. And there are plenty of leftovers, usually. Go to HelloFresh.com/Howie14 and use code Howie14 for 14 free meals plus 3 free gifts. That's code Howie14 at HelloFresh.com/Howie14. I'm Howie Carr.
He's making talk radio great again. He's Howie Carr. Send your police blotter facts Friday stories to Grace at HowieCarshow.com. You might win a special prize.
It's a 1-year membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
The Howie Carr Show is back.
Officer Mark says Brian Williams was also the guy hanging on the rope ladder dangling from the last chopper out of Saigon. He rode a tank in a jet as the Blitzkrieg raged in London. He was with Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill was saying, I have nothing to offer but blood, sweat, and, Brian, what's that last word I want? Tears, Winston, tears. He was on North Clark Street in Chicago on St. Valentine's Day, 1929. He was at, on November 22nd, 1963, he was at both the Texas School Book Depository and the Grassy Knoll. And then later, he was at Parkland Hospital in the emergency room. Is there anywhere Brian Williams hasn't been? Frank, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Frank.
I would like to mention, whenever we talk about inflation or unemployment, that the formula for figuring each of these has been changed. And if we went back to the old way, inflation would look worse than it does. If I remember right, under Obama, the unemployment formula was changed so that when people quit looking for work, they were no longer called unemployed. That would mean if there nobody had a job and nobody was looking for work, the unemployment rate would be zero.
I know. I mean, again, this core inflation rate with no fuel or food, it's ridiculous. Thanks for the call. Brian, you're next. Quickly, Brian, not much time left.
Well, you just stole my thunder. I was going to say, how can you do a budget without fuel or food, you know?
Right.
And the other thing too, I've been on hold for so long that
I'm sorry. Go ahead. What did you want to say? Oh, he's gone. I'm sorry. We lost Brian. Sorry we didn't have more time with you. We'll be right back. Next hour, we have the Chump Line Police Blotter Facts Friday. I'm Howie Carr.